Big schools to have the grass strips to carry the route. And the man of the senior was just telling on the hall. They teach the senior curriculum for already 3 years. And we have the opportunity to hear from Sanjay Freeman on these topics. Please, Sanjay.
You know that the famous Chazal says, Rebbe Mechabed and Hashir. Rebbe was Mechabed, the wealthy people. And they heard many explanations why it is Rebbe Mechabed Hashir. All kinds of ideas and excuses that I heard from the Shishita. Explanations as to why they give a special covenant to the Ashirim. But Mamish today, I heard my son was talking to me. I heard today something about it. Good one. So I was listening to a tape from the Rosh Hashanah, and he said, the Chazal say, Rebbe Mechabed is Hashir, what does it mean? It means he's Mechabed, anyone who's going to ask to help him. The Chazal tell us that Ezru Hashir has some ask to help, right? So when Chazal tell us that Rebbe Mechabed is Hashir, what's it referring to? What Vivian says Hashir is doing? Or what Chazal says Hashir is doing? So it's not that, it's referring to that Rebbe was Mechabed anybody who lived within his means, anybody who understood the concept of Sameach Mechelker. Which means he was Mechabed some very poor people, what society was. But let's talk for a minute about what is the meaning of Sameach Mechelker. The part of the Mishnah is a little bit short. It's a difficult Mishnah. Ezru Ashir Hasameach Bechelker means who is wealthy, who is happy with what he has. And he is happy with what? But he didn't ask who's happy. That sounds like saying we like to interpret that to mean that if somebody's happy, so it doesn't make a difference if he's not rich. He's happy, so what more do you want? But that's not, the question was not who is happy. The question is who is rich. Which means the answer to the question of who is rich, what does it mean to be rich? It means to see yourself as having what you need. Because if you don't feel that you have what you need, if you have $100 million, but you feel that you need another $10 million in order to do the next deal, and you don't have it, so you're $10 million poor. You don't have what you need. You don't have what you think you need. So it doesn't make a difference how much money you have. It makes a difference of how you perceive yourself with what you have. So what is an usher? An usher is somebody who doesn't need. An usher is somebody who needs. It needs. And doesn't that mean? And I feel that I need, and I feel that I don't have, and I feel that I need to get something that I can't have. So I'm poor. I'm poor because the way I look at myself is as somebody who is needy for something I cannot have, or I don't have access to. Well, a wealthy person is somebody who doesn't need anything. Why is called wealthy? He's not called wealthy because of the hiding, because of what he's amassed. That's a false wealth. Chazal interprets wealth as someone who is not needy. So I ask myself, okay, that's the Tzach Mishnah. Tzach Mishnah is that real wealth means that I have what I need. Well, why do we talk about it as well? Would he steal? Why did Christians go to talk about love? The missionary talks about four things. Four extremely important things. One thing that most of the world believes it's worth spending a good part of your life trying to achieve. Karma, wisdom, wealth, strength, honor. Those are values. Those are values. Those are values that every single person in this world wants to be successful. Everyone wants to be successful. And Chazal is telling us how to be successful. Western civilization teaches us that success is relative to the next person. If we think of someone who's smart, we think of someone who's smarter than. We don't think of someone who's smart. I don't think everyone thinks of someone smart. We think, by the way, the Rishon or the Gaon. But then we all say that's not child smart. Everyone's smart. It's not as strong as the Bakish Khan. We ask who's strong. So we think who's stronger. We think of the strongest guy in the United States of high school without even knowing how he is. Whose eyes closed back with we think of someone that's strong. We grew up in America and everything, love the people that we do. We have somebody in our head that we think of as strong, that is stronger than everybody else. But I'll say, no, strength is nothing, it's not relative. Success as it is, success as a person in this world, is not something relative. It's something that's beyond it, shall call that something else. So strength is how you deal with yourself. How do you deal with your inclination? How do you deal with your own devices, your own device? What do you do with yourself? Equation. The same thing. The equation itself, which is something that every person in the world wants to feel that he has what he needs. So the law tells us, if you want to feel you have what he needs, you have to learn to live within your means. You have to live a balanced life. The balanced life means that you live within your means. In the United States today, I don't have the latest statistics, but it's a WWF that more than 70% of Americans are living beyond their means. Beyond their means. And that's so, I'm afraid to say it's probably 90 or 95. For the simple reason, you have something called overhead. It's built into the system. It's built into the system. That we can live beyond everything. Well, isn't such a thing as credit, isn't such a thing as something that I need for now that I can see. It's irresponsible credit. A responsible credit is something that I cannot pay back within 1 year without changing my income. If I have a credit, but I don't have a way to pay it, I'm sure I have a mortgage to pay that monthly. It's a 20-year mortgage. That's fine. 20-year. But if I have an overdraft, the extra I can't cover. So I'm always paying. I'm always going to buy. That means I'm not going to be responsible because I have to do something in order to create an ability to not live, to not be creating a hole. So, what are my options? What are the options that we think of? There are basically different options in changing a balance. One option is cutting. One option is to get income. There aren't other options. There are only two options that are available in changing my balance. One is that I make judgment of what I really need. And the other kind of thing is, I figure out a way to do more. So, if you can tell those beautiful stories from the Agatha Kelly, I'll tell you how to share that story. The Agatha Kelly didn't come to Canada. And he came here to work. His first job was to work for Tzedakah. And he went to knock on doors to let Tzedakah. He got a list of people, and every person said, how much did they give you before? And he knocked on the door, and he asked them to say, we'd give a donation to the Moises that he was working for.
And the person, you know, would say, well, if less you can give, this is enough. And that kind of thing happened the first, one of the first days he was working. He just moved to Canada, just got a job. He knocked on the door, and the person says, what do you expect? He says, well, last year you gave such and such a man. He says, that's a shit. He says, I never, ever gave that amount. Not possible. I never gave that amount to anyone. That's so sorry. Went back to the office. He gave the big house back. He said, I can't do it for shit. And he gave up his first job. Integrity is an extraordinary, extraordinary value. But then we came around, they realized he was the top guy that he came, so of course, he loved the job, not to see who he was. And then the show from there, he came around and started to start. But there are two parts. This making some cutting in our budget and this getting. So it's so hard to tell people who are living. It's very limited cost. The cost. How do you make costs when you're not making it in the first place? How do you make costs? But I think that it's important to think about what does it mean? What does it mean for a person? And he makes a very good. And he says, looking within the means, what does it mean to look within the means? Every person in this room made a hafwah. We made a hafwah on our lifestyle. We made a hafwah the way we're going to live. We made a hafwah what we're going to do. How much we're willing to put in order to get a return. We made decisions. And sometimes, in those decisions, are included consequences or ramifications that we look at. So if I decided that the value of what I'm doing in my life is important enough that I made this decision, that I have to take into consideration all of the ramifications that are included. And I said, okay, so I decided that I want to live in this, decided that I want to live in a community, I decided that I want to be interested in Torah, in place segregation, in whatever it is that I'm doing, I made a decision that I'm going to do something that I believe in, that I feel good with, that's important, the value that I'm doing. I'm not doing it because hopefully stop. I'm doing it because I made a decision. And if I made a decision, then I have to be willing to take into consideration what that decision means. But if I sit down and make a real judgment of what it means, and I say, wait, hey, so then I have two choices. I have a choice either to change my decision, or stick with my decision and realize that the way that is that I overstepped what I wanted without being realistic as to what my decision meant. The decision meant that I have to live with less. And now I have to live with less. But I've heard people say many times that they care about what they have children. They care about what they need. Their needs are more than what I have. We don't know, there's no idea that we're going to work on Shabbos to get more money. We're going here to sell a cake to make more money. It works. I'm not suggesting, I'm just saying. It's an idea. No one is happy. No one is trying to get it. You're not interested because you have money. You're not interested in doing something that against the values that you believe in, that you live for, that you work for, that you build your life around. So there's another value that's very, very important value. And that value is to borrow money that we can't pay back. That's also a value. Not to pay things that we get with a lack of integrity, not to get things that we get that we shouldn't be getting. These are real values. And unfortunately, we sometimes lost a little sensitivity to that value. The halacha says that you're not allowed to give somebody a loan that they can't pay back. The Mishnah, in others, says that when they ask Ezu, need to pay, but what's the need to pay that a person should pay? What is the... So I am telling you, the late time, only the Raya Sanayva. Raya Sanayva, Raya Sanayva is, if you believe, to look at something and see the place, we look the going with Inchaisha Mishpah, where halacha is that you're not allowed to give someone a loan if they can't pay it back. The source is the Mishnah. Alei Zuchacham or Alei Zuchacham. There's been a key to be a halacha. There's a key to the work of Eina of Bereshah, if you look forward to Google. And we have a key to see what the Tzai is about actions. And since we have a key to see what the Tzai is, what actions are, we're not allowed to take a loan if we don't have to pay the tax. We're not allowed to give a loan. For many years I had a yeshiva. I had a yeshiva is a buffer that not learn the full day. They need other forms of stimulation to do it. You pull down the shovel, you give up. Yeshiva still exists, but now under the Sadr of Achad, it's basically completely funded by the government. When I was a yeshiva, we didn't want to take too much government funding, because we didn't want to have to tell us what to do with the government. So we always limited how many ways we take to the government. And it reached the point where somebody who was going to help us ended up feeling a great deal of money. I got into very, very serious things. I went to a bar mitzvah. What is a bar mitzvah? I said to him, what am I going to do? Every day that I'm open, costs me more money. And I can't take out loans. I mean, maybe I could, but I got loans. There's no choice. I have to take it. Home. You don't take it. Home. The machine's going to close down. He said, don't close down the machine. Don't close down the machine. Because I don't have to get home. I'm going to close down the machine. The machine will close down. So if the machine closes, it closes. That's not your... But you're not allowed to close the machine. But that's telling me that I have to take loans. Because every day that I'm open, it's costing me money. And I'm using money that I don't have. So you're going to pay me from the bank, or I'm paying me from salaries, or pay me from somewhere. He said to me, you're not allowed to take a loan. I said, okay. I'm not allowed to take a loan, and I'm not allowed to take somewhere. Not well enough. So he said to me, are you going to steal? I said, no. He said, you know what, sometimes you're not allowed to take a loan. Take a loan right now is stealing. You're not allowed to do that. So you take it off if it's a possibility in your head, you can end up taking it. But if you take it out of your head the same way you take stealing out of your head, and so it's not a possibility anymore, but it's not a possibility anymore, then you're not going to do it. So what I'm going to do is, I don't know. Maybe she will go down. I hope not. And then he said something that only people like him can say. Maybe in another month something will happen. So maybe. Well, a month later somebody came and told me she was there. Over most of the time. Interesting. But if you told me something that's extraordinary, look. He said to me that the reason you take a loan is because you look at it as a possibility. But if you take it
off your list of possibilities, the same way you take stealing off your list of possibilities, the same way you take selling cocaine or working on Shabbos off your possibilities, if you know that this is not a possibility that I have anymore, and I don't have to pay it back, if I take it along, I don't have to pay it back, that's cancer. Then it becomes an impossibility.
And I figure something out.
I have to figure something out. So we have to do something else to go back to this one. We go back either to making changes, and I have to make changes because I decided to be able to live with it. I decided to be able to live with my income. But obviously then I have to figure out a way to live within my own machine. But I have to make changes. And even though it seems like I can't make changes because I'm really living with less than, but I have to be able to make changes because I don't have an option. I don't have options. I have one other option, and that is how to make it more. And that's something that's a very hard thing for people to think about. Especially those of us who have spent years living terror and behaved a part of our lives for our whole lives surrounded by living terror. So thinking of income is a little bit scary. I'm going to leave, I'm going to stop, I'm going to... So, our show is diverse. And there are many ways of creating income. And a person as diverse as Pali Shore living, there's a diverse, there are people in this room. In this room, there are diverse opportunities out there, whether it's a friend or family who's going to do a supplement with them, or whether it's taking something on, whether it's a college, or whether it's a part-time job, or something that's kind of thinking about. Remember, there's a man, a younger man from Ramos, a number of years ago. He was really in peril for a long time, his family was gone, and he's dead. I don't know what to do. I have to do something, I have to do something fair. So I told him that I just read an article about the postal service in Eretz Yisrael. And I heard a very interesting opportunity that's available. They're looking for some people back there. They're looking for religious people because religious people have their money and they pay less. The postal service pays lower, and also banks, by the way, they pay lower insurance on the workers if they're religious. So the bank pays on every worker, he pays insurance because every worker is a potential guy.
Insurance for what?
The bank pays insurance to staff according to the amount of workers they have. That's the amount he pays for insurance. If someone's religious, they pay a lower level it's not a well-known thing, but I heard from an hour back. And the post office says the same thing. So they have after an interest in finding people that are religious because they wouldn't want to pay off money. This was a man, found the route, not where he lives, but not too far from where he lives. He does this from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock in the morning, which is 4:30. The law is something about that they have, you have to do it at the same time every day. It can be any time in the 24 hours, then it can be the same time every day within a certain branch, an hour or two. Anyway, he did it every morning, he started doing it in the morning, and now 6 years, this young man, now 6 years, has this thing, and he learned to still learn, so nobody even knows that he's working. I'm not assuming that there are jobs for 60 people, I'm not suggesting everybody will become a devout. I'm simply saying that with a little creative thinking, there are things that a person could do, and not necessarily involved them on the values that they have. There are small things that we can do, there are bigger things that we can do, there are things sometimes we can do for relatives. There's a day in the life to take care of apartments for a couple of friends, their wife does it, kids do it, There are ways to make income, and if a person wants to continue living with the values that he has, he doesn't have what he has, so he has to figure out ways of creating more income. And it's not enough income. Something that a person is allowed
work for nothing. I'm not suggesting Chassidim holding the light that they should learn nothing. But a person has to know that the chayyus of his family is living in God. Now, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with children when things are hard? Because children are not adults. We make the decision as to our lifestyle. And when we make our decisions about our lifestyle, our children are living with the consequences of our decisions. So I could be very happy with less, but what about my children? How do I feel about what they have? Now, Baiter Chazal said, "A Moshe Asamech Mechelke." So that Mechelke is not a an abstract idea. So that Mechelke means that I'm happy. But I'm happy. This is what I have because I made the decision. This is an amazing decision. This is I recognize that this is the Rav Shalom has given me. And if that's what the Rav Shalom gives me, it means that I have to live within this. And if I have to live within this, that means that I could recognize that I do have what I need, even though right now I don't feel that I have what I need. That's changed the way I look at things. But that's a lot easy for a father, for a mother. I mean, sorry, excuse my language. That's more plausible for a father and a mother. But a child says, "Oh, my friends, come with this. Everybody in the class has this." So besides the fact that once you have more than one child for more than 2 years, you know that that's never true, and that everyone has it means there are two boys in the class that have it. But there are things that you know that people do have. There are things that you know that are considered standard. Things that the neighbor requires, things that the police have to require. But there's certain things that they need. So how do I obtain those things? And how I teach my children to be happy with that is very much going to be what I project. Meaning, if I feel that I'm a nebuch, that I don't have some, if I feel that I'm lower than somebody else because I don't have to give it to my child, my child will pick up on that. And my child will feel similar to the way I feel. I am proud of who I am. I'm proud of the way that I live. And happy that this is our house because I have a shizzle here. I have a shiva. But I can bring my child into the shiva, and they can be a part of something that's important. Sadly, sometimes the shiva that we have gets a little more away. And in the years of not having and not being able to do things that we needed to do, and not being able to care of things we need to care of, we've lost the fire, we've lost the bread, and we're doing things with inertia, and we're going there later. See, this is what we're doing, so we just continue doing it. It's time to make this happen. Any place on earth? Either, how do I rejuvenate my learning? How do I reinstate the excitement that I had when I got married and I started off in this mahalo, the excitement and the and the idealism and the beauty of this world. And if I can't do that, then I have to realize, then we have to realize, what am I doing? It may not be a very biblical thing to say, and I don't want pastors or people to be angry at me saying, but there are families that have reached the satiation point in what they've been doing. And it's time to shake the boat a little bit and think again and think, what should I be doing now? And a person who's not able to do that is either going to feel that they're living in poverty. And their children will feel they're living in poverty. But somebody who can reinstate either his own excitement and his own idealism for doing the good. He questions it and says, I have to start something fresh. So then he can give his children, or he can tell his children and explain to them what's going on in life. We've been through difficult choice in our life. The times that we had through Nisim's place, great plenty, times where we had plenty of great difficulties. And children have to know. Their children are not supposed to know what their parents' income is. And it's the children to know. But now, right now we're making more decisions because we have to make that decision. And Baruch Hashem, we can do that. We're doing this for good reasons. Because we are crying. We're doing the highest. Children are more capable of understanding things than we think. It's a very scary thing for a child to think. And I remember one of my children when I had a meeting with them and said that, you know, now we're just going to cut down on certain things. So one of my kids said, so now we're poor? I said, no. We were never poor. And I don't think we should ever be poor. But if we watch the rest of that for us. And we spoke about what it means to know. Since we're very sure we give some people some things, some people other things, but it takes care of everybody, and we are easier than we believe that we have what we need, and now we have to live with that. It's very difficult to say to a child, we can't afford that. And I don't know if we have to say we can't afford it. You can say at this time, it's not a guarantee. You can say at this time, we don't think it's what we have to do. That we're going to do the things that are very, very most important for us. Not to any children. I mean, I'm not suggesting you say, you want lunch or you want the new game. They may choose the new game. But if you are feeling that you cannot provide your children with the basic needs, and their basic needs, then it's time to think about those two grounds. Either what you can take off, or I know who can leave the land more than what you know. You're going through very difficult times. But if you listen, stop smoking. And all of a sudden, he's able to buy his kids every single day. Every single day. He's able to buy them something, he's not. He says, who is the man? But he saw it. It was deception. And the deception is we don't give up on deception. When he gave up on that necessity, all of a sudden he was the richest guy, and his every day he's getting out. He's a chocolate, he could use it for better things. I don't know. For him, this was very important. He said, you know what it's good for? Every single day, you know how much money you're burning every day? Every day you're taking money and you're burning it. So instead of burning the money, use that same money for things that are more important to you. So somebody who is living in poverty recognized that, yeah, I'm living in poverty, but my priorities are still my priorities. And everybody has their priorities. Everybody has things that he has to rethink their priorities. And in the rethink of priorities, there's a little bit of shift. And there's a little bit of shift. So I have a little bit less for something that I had before that maybe I liked, and now I have a little bit more for something else that's important to me. These are all part of when a person starts making measurement of his values. What's important to me? What am I doing that's important to me? Where am I adding that's important to me? What am I giving my children that's important to me? What am I not giving my children that's important to me? How can I give that to them? When children see their parents working to give them, to care for them, to take care of them, the
But they see the parents giving them small things that mean I thought about you, and I want you to have this. Children learn to appreciate and understand where things are going. And I'm afraid that maybe there's a little oversimplification here, because we live in a very, very social society. And I may be saying it, oversimplifying it, and not dealing with some of the very big issues of children getting older and having demands and expectations. And for those of us who are already married or children, so you don't know what I mean when I say those things. And once again, a person has to know what he has. A person has to know when he goes to marry with a child. The children get older, they're going with the shoes they look, and there's certain orders of the seminary and other things. What I can do, what I cannot do. I had a letter that I sent out, I was at the other seminary, and we sent out applications, and every application is a letter. And one of the sedition in the letter is that if your parents can't afford this, you have to question yourself whether or not you're not a question. So if you want to go get a job during the summer and you want to help pay for it, you can talk. But to ask the parents for something that they don't have, be an edge. That's the beginning. That's my finish is starting before I even get it to the school. What are you doing? And there are parents who say to children, we cannot do this, you have to start doing something so that you'll have the spending money, so that you can go away for the summer, so that you can go to school, so you can do. And it's that if a parent doesn't have those resources, they're bringing the children into the magal of creating a terrible thing. That's what children have to do. Children have to learn. Say, yeah, I don't want a child to this, I don't want a child to that. There's two options. You can do what they do. If you can't make yourself a value that's conflicting with another value and expect to have both, you're going to have to somewhere decide, well, what's more important for you? Is it more important for you that your child never leaves the house, which makes sense in this world? Or is it more important for you that your child can go for the summer to where she has to go and have a few caps in the pocket so she can get herself something? You have to make that evaluation. You can't just say no to a child. The same way that you have to consider your options as to having income from making cuts, your child has to learn that same level of upright. And you know, there is no ABC here that I can tell every person in this room. Okay, let's run us through it. You have the Messina has beautiful ABCs about learning to understand what your income is, learning to see what your expenses are, learning to see how those are. Devolving a cable. You're holding a piece of paper and hold rope and all that. It's a very hard thing in the beginning to do. When we first got married, we had no choice. We lived in the old days. The parents didn't support kids coming there, so I know what the thought was in those days. It was different. We're married in Canada 33 years. So 33 years ago, when we came to Israel, there was no, that stuff didn't exist. No one bought your apartment in Solomon. There were a few guys. That was after. So we went from hand to mouth. My wife made mayonnaise one or three months and sold it to these Jewish guys. Sandwiches another month and sold it to these Jewish guys. I had a Talmud, and we made it there. In those days, rent was $180, so big book there, But we lived with, I had a thing that every single expense over one shekel, I wrote it down. every cent over shekel. They knew what I was spending, and they knew how much I had, and they knew, whoops.
I wish you like peaches. You know how the first peaches, when they come out, that one's big one. Yeah, it's like old 15 shekels. You know, there's some extraordinary amount of money that doesn't make any sense. So I bought one. She saved it for Shabbos. And then do it again. She cut it in pieces, she gave everybody this. We do it! Well, I didn't notice that much, and then sold it. But how can I enjoy it by myself? I don't share it. I won't give it to other people. So I learned another lesson. But I learned to find that peach and say, shh, put a good husband on it. So, because it was a big expense, an hour. My brother came, lived with us for a little while, right? So he came to learn here. We found yeshiva. So he goes to the refrigerator on the first day, and he came to the house. And he used up all the food for the week. I wrote my friend, I don't know what to do. I'm happy to have him here, but you know, I'm a Shredish, I buy hard cheese, which left us for the first for a week, and was gone for breakfast. So they said something to him. They couldn't come first, but they said something that we should be able to feed him. Are you on campus? You remember that I love him, I want to have him. I believe he had a house and all that, I can't do it. I have to find something. You can't do it. I know people invite you to Shabbos. And really ask, can you do it or can you not do it? It's a Shabbos, everything's true. If you have an Achrayus, make a judgment before you spend money, before you invite extra people, can you do it? Because if you can, so you're not doing a favor. First of all, they may have a problem of being under from the Suda Shemra second for Bible. Which is sort of the thing here, it's not a very good thing to do. And you are doing something because you may be taking something away from your family. I had a great game of all the team members and my father who went home. Somebody from the Shabbos meal. So the mother would say, the peace of you, give us. Go watch. And they sent the room with the father, and then she would take. She described her. Her mother took the spoon and took from each of the soups a little bit off the bowl to make sure that the rear had what you did. Because you can't create more food than you have. Today we can. The credit cards. We create more food than we have. We walk into the store, there's a chef out of change, and we buy more than you. There's no credit card, you can do that. You took the chicken that you had, you didn't have it, you made it, you cooked it. And the soup that you had, you didn't have it, you cooked it, you made it, and that's what you ate. And if you want to win it, you had to give it from everybody. Today, we have the means to create fictitious wealth. We have the means to create food that is not there. And if we live beyond our means, and then we'll live in the end, you know, and why is it so hard? So, again, my father told me we shouldn't have guests. You know, sometimes you can come to the post-it. And I said, how many of you want to be? Far be it from me to give. I'm saying that a person, at this point in our lives, when we're coming to hear a discussion about financing, because we're battling with that material. So it's time to use our creative mind. It's time to use our creative mind and create a balance in our family. A simcha in the house. Because without simcha in the house, our children will feel poverty stricken, even if they're... Everyone knows the story about the poor little rich boy. But the kids who have grown up with enormous amounts of money, and they are so poor,
They're so destitute because their parents are interested in other things, and they don't have time for them, and they don't have interest in them. They have interest in building. We don't have Hashem. No one in this room is cautious that. Maybe it's because we're here because we can't learn Torah in Eretz Yisrael, raise our children in Eretz Yisrael. And our children are our priority. Our children are priority, and Simcha in the house has to be a priority. And Simcha in the house has to be a priority, and we have to be able to be happy. And that means being responsible. Because if we're irresponsible, we're automatically going to be unhappy. And therefore, my suggestion is that we start opening up our heads, opening up our minds, thinking fresh of what I can do to change the balance of things in my life. What I can do to add, what I can do to take away, what I can do to reevaluate my own situation and see whether or not the time has come for me to consider new options. Not be afraid to face where I'm holding now in life, now that I have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 children, now that I have children that are moving on. It's time to think responsibly about how to deal with it, and not just say, okay, it'll be good, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's the opposite of the enemy that we're wrong. The leader wrong, that the Mishnah always says, is the mean of favor is relish and over. And the opposite, it doesn't say the shame and relish and over. It says loiva the aim of shaman. So the person who lives without the yes and over lives with the right with the loiva the aim of shaman. And that's the mean of the first has to be shot. So now is the time to start making that statement and message. Start thinking, opening up our heads, sitting down with our wives, and thinking, sitting down with our wives, our husbands, and realizing where are we holding, and what can we do to live a more balanced life, so we can all be ashir. And ashir doesn't mean what we have, it means being happy with what we have. The Ezra Shah Ashir has some after that.